Good morning. I want to talk about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit this morning, and you see my text, Exodus 33:12-16. You're probably going to wonder, how'd you get the Holy Spirit out of this? But I hope you'll get on the same page with me by the time we're finished. I'm glad to have everyone with us this morning. As I said, the text is from Exodus 33:12-16. I got up this morning, and I don't do it often, but I've got a deck of cards laying at the house, and I'll play solitaire. Just one hand, just see how I do. And I got up this morning, and I almost won. I hadn't been winning late, and I almost won. I thought, something ain't right. Then I decided, well, I'll put the cards back up by suit, because I had them almost all out by suit. And I got to putting the deck together, and I was missing the seven of clubs. And I looked through the other deck and couldn't find it. And I shook the card box, and the seven of clubs fell out. About 3 o'clock this morning, I thought, that's my problem. I haven't been playing with the full deck. And then it hit me what I said, and I got kind of tickled about that. I said, well, Lord, I'll just leave that one lay. I want to talk about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What a privilege we have in this covenant we're in. That God says, I'll put my Spirit within them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And that's not dependent on anything you and I do, except that we obey Him and come to Jesus Christ. And what a blessed walk this is that we can have as Christians. And we're going to use Brother Moses to give you an example of what it was like under his covenant, the covenant that God cut with him at Sinai. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? Father, I thank you that your word never comes back to you empty. You said it accomplishes exactly what you send it out to do, just like the rain and the snow. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who lives within each and every heart of your children, Lord, those who have received Jesus Christ, those who have clung to the promise of salvation. I pray, Lord, today, if anyone out there that doesn't know you today, that's never called on your name, that this would be a day of salvation. I pray, Lord, for those who are going through struggles and spiritual warfare, that you would remind us of who we are in Christ Jesus, and that we're never by ourselves or alone. I thank you that you empower us to be your witnesses. I ask your blessing on everyone that is here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Moses was having quite a time. We've been talking about him and the children of Israel the last couple Sundays, and you remember when I was talking about worship, I said when God finally convinced him to go to Egypt, and Moses said, the elders aren't going to believe me, but they did. And it said they worshiped, they bowed their heads in worship. And I told you that the Hebrew there means they literally got prostrate on the ground. They put their faces in the dirt and they thanked God that he was coming to rescue them. Then when Pharaoh got irritated and he said, you got too much time on your hands, So you're going to make bricks, but I'm not giving you straw. You got to go gather your own. It said they came out to Moses and said, you made us stink. Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? And they very quickly lost that spirit of worship. You know, they got in the flesh. They got ugly with Moses. They said, why didn't you just leave us be? Well, then in 10 plagues later, God brought them out of Egypt. And it said they marched defiantly. I like that word, defiantly. They were bold. And God said, I want you to camp here, Moses. And they had a mountain range on each side and the Red Sea at their back, which wasn't a good place to camp when you got an army coming to you. And God told Moses, he said, Pharaoh's going to come against you, but I'm going to get glory. And of course, when the Israelites saw the Egyptians coming at them, all the defiance left. And they turned around and said, Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? Well, where's the worship? Where's the praise? Yeah, but the Egyptians are coming. And it said that they cried to God, and Moses said, stand still, God's going to defend you. And then it said, the Lord said, why are you crying to me, Moses? So I think at the same time he was speaking and saying, God's going to defend us, in his heart he was crying out, God! And God said, Moses, God, Moses. What's the problem? The sea, man. We don't have anywhere to go. And God said, take your stick, dude. The one I blessed and gave back to you. Wave it over the sea. That water will get out of your way. And the water got out of the way, and they marched through on dry land. The Egyptians came in behind them. God said, Moses, now raise that stick back up over that water. And the water fell on the Egyptians. The Israelites were still on dry ground. And they had a fit for themselves. Miriam got her tambourine out, and the rest of the women grabbed their tambourines and their cymbals, and they danced, and they praised God. And I told you it was the right song. It's just on the wrong side of the water. They should have been praising God when they was over here in the hard place. You know, that's how we're supposed to live, Christians. Do we trust Him? Well, sure we do. We wouldn't be here this morning if we didn't trust the Lord. We've trusted Him with our salvation. Well, they trusted that God was going to bring them out of Egypt, but the first sign of trouble, they pulled back to what they knew. We're in trouble. You know, I guess God can't keep His word. I mean, that's how they treated Him. And it's easy for us to sit here today on this side and say, that's just terrible, terrible, terrible. But how often do we do it? Well, Moses has about had it. He brings them to Sinai. God comes down on the mountain and He speaks, and the Israelites get to hear His voice. And they say, Moses, tell God we don't want to hear His voice anymore because we'll die. They said, you talk to God, and then you come and talk to us. And God said, that's a good thing. They're right. So Moses is telling them the Lord's going to give us the law. And they go, whatever He says, we'll do. You know, they're still in good times. The Egyptians are dead. We saw them laid it on the shore. They're all dead. Nobody's chasing us anymore. And yeah, God, we're your people. And when Moses went up on the mountain, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, how long does it take to write 10 commandments? It doesn't take 40 days and 40 nights. But remember, the first 5 books of the Bible were written by Moses. God gave Moses the Genesis account. And Moses didn't eat or drink in God's presence for 40 days or 40 nights. Now, the eating, yeah, most of us could go 40 days without eating, some of us longer. But drinking, I was reading that it's very dangerous to try to fast any more than 4 or 5 days without fluids. They say it's very detrimental to the body and that it shouldn't be done. And Moses lived off the presence of God 40 days and 40 nights. Well, while he's on the mountain, you know what happened. some of the people came to Aaron and said, we don't know what happened to Moses. They got an attention span about that long. You know, we don't even know where Moses is at. Last time we saw him, he's walking up the hill. So, Aaron, we want gods that we can see. We had them in Egypt. You know, the Egyptians had all these cool gods. And you could see them. And so, we want you to make a god or gods to go before us. So Aaron said, well, bring me all your earrings and your nose rings. See, nose rings aren't new, young people. They wore them in those days. And they brought them all, and Aaron made a molten calf. And they built an altar and started sacrificing to it. And it said the people sat down and ate and drank and got up to play. And God said, Moses, your people that you brought out of Egypt are down there going after other gods. And I'm sure Moses went, huh? They're doing what? They told me they were going to follow you. And God said, well, they're not following me. And Moses runs off down the mountain. And when he gets there, he's so mad, he breaks those tablets that God had written with his own finger. I told you, he told the Levites, whoever's on God's side, come over here with me. And the Levites came to him. That's the tribe Moses was out of. So they sided with Moses. He said, put your sword on, go out there and kill your brothers. And there's about 2,500 of them died. And Moses was hoping by the letting of blood that God would stay the plague. Well, where we're at this morning, he's went back up the mountain. Here's another 40 days of fasting. Later on, Moses shares, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, that when he went back up the mountain, he spent 40 days without anything to eat or drink, interceding, praying for Israel. God was mad. In fact, when he sent him down off the mountain, God said, you stand back and let me alone. I'm going to wipe out every one of them, and I'm going to make a nation out of you. Now, they better be glad I wasn't Moses, because I'd have said, yep, just let me get out of the way. But Moses didn't do that. We need to find another place to put that thing. Or I need to quit stepping around here. My big old 14s just hook it and knock it right off there. Anyway, Moses, that's where we're at here today. And Moses says, they're your people. You know, they had a little argument about that earlier. God said, your people. Moses said, no, they're yours. And God said, no, they're yours. Moses said, no, they're yours. And God said, no, they're yours. They had an argument with what they did. Neither one of them wanted to claim the other, you know. Well, Moses finally realized he's in the same boat with these people. He's their leader. He's the one God's chosen. And something else Moses realizes, this is a God-sized problem. Okay? So, he's got a little different attitude when he's up there this time. He doesn't try to say, I don't have any part of this. You enlisted me when I was 80 years old to lead these people. I told you not to get me. I told you to get somebody else. I told you I wasn't the right man for the job. And now look at all the chaos. That ought to prove to you, God, that I was telling you the truth. You should have listened to me. I'm not the right guy. They don't pay attention to me. But Moses doesn't do that. You see, Moses remembered God's promise. They are going to inherit the land that I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was the covenant before the law. And Paul said the law did not annul that first covenant he made with Abraham, which was by promise. And Moses has come to grips with that, but he's also come to grips with something else. This is one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament because Moses sees his own smallness to accomplish what God's asking him to do. And we come in on this conversation. Moses says, you know, you tell me that you know me by name, but you won't tell me who else can help me with this. Now later on, God says, you pick 70 elders, Moses. And I will put my spirit upon them for this task to help you bring the Israelites into Canaan. Ben Murrow made an excellent point, church. Now, I'm an elder, but I'm a minister. He said, too long in the Christian church, we've had it backwards, thinking that ministers are hired hands. And they come and go at the behest of the elders. He said, elders, God's called you to help that minister bring his people to where he wants them to be. Amen. I'll amen that. I did then. But at this time, Moses has Joshua. And what a dedicated man he was. When Moses went up the mountain, Joshua sat at the foot of the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights waiting for him to get back. That's dedicated. Yeah. And Moses is up there and he goes, God, you told me to bring these people out here, and they're your people. He does say that. He said, this is your people. Remember that. They're yours. Well, God hadn't forgot it. But he was so angry, he said, I'm going to send you and them out, but I'm not going with you because I'll kill them. That's basically, God said, I'll wipe them out. They're stiff-necked. They're rebellious. They won't listen to me, and I'm going to take them out. And Moses said, well, if you can't forgive them, then don't forgive me either. And that's the famous verse where God said, I will have mercy on who I choose to have mercy. That he wasn't talking about the pre-election of the saved. God was saying, Moses, I'm going to forgive the people I choose to forgive, and the ones I don't choose to forgive, guess what happened to them? They died a little later of a plague. God hit them with a plague. A bunch of them died. I think the Apostle Paul brings in that there were about 23,000 died. And Moses, he's in the presence of God, and he said, you tell me you love me. You tell me you know me by name. I don't have anybody to help me with this. And I love what he said. He said, Lord, if you're not going to go, don't send us out of here. That ought to be the heart cry of every elder and minister in the church today. You know, instead of sitting down drawing up a bunch of plans, we ought to be seeking his face. This is what Moses is doing right now. He's saying, I want to know what your plan is, Lord. And if you're not going to tell me, I'm not going to budge. Now, is that rebellious? No, that's smart. He said, how else will people know that we're your people if we're not different from everyone else? Because Moses is acknowledging to God, you're the only true God. And these nations we're going through, they have all these gods they worship. But you're the only true God. But if you're not going to go with us, how are they going to know? And that impressed God. God said, my presence will go with you. Because he said, I do know you by name. Now, I didn't put a lot of the rest of the text in because I knew how sidetracked I'd get if I did. But I love this. Moses says, please show me your glory. God, I got to see it. God, I got to experience you. Now, something he says is in this text. He says, teach me your ways so that I can know you. See, Moses had heard about God all of his life. He knew about him. He knew God had called him to bring his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, to bring them to the land of promise, but that's all he knew. And Moses, in honesty and humility in the presence of God, realizes something. I don't know you. I know about you. And God's fixing to give him the written word again. He spent 40 days and nights with that, with God teaching him. And you can learn all about God in the Scriptures. But Jesus said you can diligently study the Scriptures and not recognize who the Savior is. People do it all the time still to this day. Well, if I try to read the Bible and try to keep it to the best of my ability, then God's going to let me into His heaven. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you diligently pore over those scriptures, but they're the ones that testify about me, and you don't know me. You won't come to me. And Moses, in humility, was saying, God, I don't know you, but I want to. Do you know God honors that kind of a prayer? Yeah. God said, okay. He said, Moses, I'm going to show you my glory. But he said, you can't see my face and live. If you see my face, you're going to die. But he said, I'm going to put you in this cleft of the rock. And I'm going to put my hand over your eyes, and I'm going to make my glory pass by. And he said, I'll declare my name to you, the Lord. And he said, when I get past you, I'll pull my hand back, and you can see my back. Now, that's something. And I don't know how many times I've read that, and I have so envied Moses. Oh, my Lord. Think about it. To stand there, and God literally puts His hand over your face and says, okay, I want to show you my glory because I want you to know me. And the Bible says, among prophets there was not a greater one than Moses, with whom God spoke face to face. Whoa! But something I've realized under this new covenant, we have it better than Moses, because he speaks to us heart to heart. You see, the Spirit of God did not dwell in people, even in Moses at this time. He was on Moses. There's a difference. Because when the Spirit of God is on you, He can come on and He can come off at God's will. David prayed, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. When he sinned with Bathsheba, when he committed adultery and murder, and he knew he'd cut himself off from the presence of God, the Spirit was gone. And David said, Lord, don't take him. Don't take him away that I can never have him back. And God honored that. And Moses said, God, I want to know you. How am I going to teach these people your ways if I don't know you? If all I do is know about you, all I'm doing is giving you lip service. God said, okay, I'm going to reveal myself to you. Now, the first thing that he asked for was to know God. That wasn't selfishness. Moses was saying, I need to know you. How can I teach your ways if I don't know you? Jesus said this. We're studying the Beatitudes on Wednesday night. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The King James says filled. The Greek says full, where they can't eat another bite. Oh, Lord, I couldn't have another bite. I couldn't take another bite. To hunger and thirst for righteousness, this is the attitude. If I can't know you, I'll die. Lord, if I can't get closer to you, I'm going to die. Oh, that that heart was in the church today. You know why the church is ordaining homosexuals to be ministers? And doing all kinds of ungodly things in the name of Jesus Christ. Why are they denying the deity of Jesus Christ and calling Him an angel who became a man? Because they don't know God. They know about Him. They do not have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And therefore they do not belong to God. I didn't say that. The Scriptures say it. You see, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you don't presume to have it. Yeah. Well, brother, when God looks at me, all He sees is Jesus. It doesn't matter what I do, because all He sees is Jesus. You show me where it says that in the Bible, and I'll eat that page. Now, are you saying that when we come to Christ, we're not considered righteous? No, I'm not saying that. But is salvation a one-time only thing or a lifetime only thing? It's lifetime. Sanctification is ongoing. It's a lifetime. God takes you just as you are, but He has no intention of leaving you that way. And if you think that He has, you're sadly mistaken. You're deceived. Okay? And you won't grow in the Spirit. Moses was asking to grow. See, he'd already tasted the Lord. He saw him at the bush. He said, I hid my face and I trembled. This is the second time he's been fasting and praying and in the very presence of God. And this time he says, now I want to know you. And we learned in the Beatitudes, this is not something Jesus threw together at the last minute. He didn't pull it out of the air. Jesus is teaching the church in the Beatitudes, this is what I expect out of you. You are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You are to have the attitude, God, if I can't get closer to you, I would rather die. That's what Moses is doing. God, I want to know you. I'm not satisfied anymore with knowing about you. I want to know you. And in the new covenant, God promises us that we can have that. For no longer shall a man teach his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. Who can know God? Anybody who wants to. Yeah. That's some of that name it and claim it stuff. Well, call it what you want. It's the truth. You can know God. If you are a Christian, you can know God. He lays the offer right out there for us. Then why don't more of us know Him? Because we don't want to. That's true. We don't want that responsibility. Oh my gosh, the more I know, the more I'm held responsible for. That's what Jesus said. Be careful what you hear, because unto whom I give much, I require much. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They'll be filled. Is this a one-time hungering? No. This is a lifetime. The closer that we come to Jesus Christ, the more we ought to see our faults and our sins. The more we ought to see our own insufficiency to enter the kingdom of heaven on our own. And the more we ought to cry out to Jesus, if you don't do something, I'm going to die. Lord, if you don't change me, I won't be changed. New Year's resolutions are an all right thing. Nobody keeps them. But I mean, I understand the concept behind that, but that's not how the kingdom of heaven works. Well, God, I know this is wrong in my life, so I will do the best that I can within my power to try to correct this. And God says, not good enough. What can wash away my sin? Only the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. John said, this is how we know that we've come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. So Moses said, I want to know you so I can teach them your ways. That's what Moses was saying. How am I going to keep your commandments if I don't know you? What's the reason that we're to keep the commandments of God? I told you last week, one word, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. And Jesus said there was another commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated. So John was able to say with all confidence, this is how we know that we know God, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, but doesn't keep His commandments, is a liar. The truth isn't in him. John said that, not me. I'm just telling you what I read. You see, you and I have, through the Holy Spirit, what Moses didn't. We have the Spirit of the living God inside of us. God said, I'll write my laws on their minds and in their hearts. Well, does that justify me? No. For it's not the hearers of the law that are justified before God, but the doers of the law. So it comes back down to obedience. Here's how we know God, if we keep His commandments. Jesus said it to His men just before He went to the cross. Whoever loves me will keep my commandments. And He said, that's not from me. The Father told me to tell you that. He said, that's what the Father has shown me. Well, if they love you, they're going to keep your commandments. Yeah, but we're not under the law anymore, so that's work salvation. Well, then Jesus is a work salvationist, I guess. Jesus promised that His Holy Spirit would teach His church the truth. Do you believe that? Amen. I got to. Because there's so many lies out there being taught in the name of Jesus Christ. It's pathetic. And if you do not have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, you're going to get sucked right into those lies. And the devil isn't stupid. He puts truth in every lie. That's what makes it appealing. Paul said, no small wonder, his apostles can appear as apostles of light. Satan is an angel of light. He's not some ugly, twisted-looking dude that you see pictures of. He's beautiful. God never created anything ugly. And if we believe that Satan was an anointed cherub, he's beautiful to look at. But he's wicked. He hates God, and he hates you. Okay? And Jesus said, when I send the Spirit of Truth, church, to you, He will teach you the truth. Isn't that what Moses was asking God? Teach me your ways. Teach me the truth. And God honored that prayer. He said, okay, you're right. I do know you by name. I have called you to do this. And what's sad to me, there wasn't one person down there on the ground couldn't have had the same thing Moses asked for. Yeah. What were they doing? They were down there dancing to a golden calf. And, hey, we don't know where Moses is. Let's play. Let's have fun. After all, it shouldn't be all serious to be religious. You know, we can have fun, show the rest of the world we're just like you. I'm not against activities in the church. In fact, church, we better get into the 21st century if we're going to survive. Because if we don't, we won't. What worked in 1958 is not going to work now. Now, you don't change the message, the gospel. But you have to change the methods. We're dealing with a whole different group of people. Just go out on the street and talk to some of these young people. Listen to them. I started Facebooking last week. There's so many abbreviations out there, I don't know what any of them mean. Somebody write me and go, LOL, OGY, and I'm like, what? Looks Yiddish. And I want to type back and say, would you just spell it out for us simple people? You know, quit trying to save space. My English teacher would have whipped the hide off of me if I'd have said, LOL, teach. He said, what? That's not good English. Moses said, I want to know you. God says, you can know me through the person of my Holy Spirit. I want to see your glory. God said, you can see my glory through the person of the Holy Spirit. I wish I could stay in that presence 24/7, but that'd be the most selfish thing for me to do. And that's why God won't allow it. You remember when Peter, James, and John went up on the mountain with Jesus and said He was transfigured before them. And His clothes shined like the brighter than anybody could whiten Him. And His face shone like the sun. And Peter goes, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three booths. One for You, one for Moses and Elijah. You know what Peter was saying? I don't want to come down. Let's forget about those people down there that You've been healing and casting demons out of and preaching the truth to. Let's forget about them, Lord. Let's build a little church right here on top of the mountain. Call it the Church of the Mountaintop Experience. Let's just stay right here. Well, that's not how it works, church. It's not how it works. Jesus, in essence, He said, boys, we got a lot of work to do down here in the valley. You can't stay on the mountain. But boy, it's nice to be on the mountain. There's something about getting into the presence of the Lord. And I feel for anyone that hasn't. I don't say that in arrogance. But when the presence of the Lord comes upon you in a spirit of prayer, and you're just enveloped, and you don't want to leave, you don't want it to stop. You're not much good to anyone there, but I mean, you don't want it to stop. Jesus promised His church, the Holy Spirit. Moses didn't have that promise. The observers of the law didn't have that promise. Paul said the law was a schoolmaster. It was a tutor until that which was perfect was come. See, Moses was under an imperfect covenant. Now, the law is holy and good. Paul said that. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's holy and good, but nobody kept it. And the first commandment of the law should have gave them a hint when God said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Just give us the rules, man. You know what our problem is to this very day? We love ourselves with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength. I've never read anywhere in the Bible where God says, "You need to love yourselves. You guys have a problem with loving yourselves." He doesn't say that. We love ourselves supremely. It's Him and our neighbors we have trouble loving. You know the golden rule, do unto others before they can do unto you. You ever heard it said like that? I have, especially by business people. Well, you got to take the advantage. You got to get the edge. You got to keep the edge. Jesus said to His church, "If you love me, you'll obey what I tell you to do, and I will send the Comforter to you." Paracletos, He who comes alongside. You see, He was getting ready to leave His church, but He said, "I'm not going to leave you alone. In fact," He said, "it's good for you that I go away. It makes you sad because I told you I'm leaving, but," He said, "it's really good for you that I leave, because if I don't, the Holy Spirit won't come. But," He said, "when I leave, I want to send Him to you. And He'll lead you into the truth. He's the one that'll give you the strength to get through those dark, dark valleys. Because see, the glory of God's in you." Jesus said, "I have given them the glory that you gave to me." What glory did the Father give to Him? Jesus said, "The Father abides in me." And He said to His church, "If you love me, if you keep my commandments, I and the Father will abide in you. We will live in you. We will stay in you." You can't get any better than that, church. No matter how dark things look, I have the light of the world inside of me. And I have to be reminded of that sometimes. He's in control. Yeah. Moses, in all humility, was saying, "God, this is a God-sized problem. All this group that you got me leading, I can't do that by myself." I think God was very pleased to hear from Moses like this. That's why He stood him in the rock and showed him His glory. Church, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is nothing to be afraid of. I know our Pentecostal brothers and sisters have just freaked us out. You know, they sound like an Evinrude motor that's missing. No, I don't want part of that, man. If that's the Holy Ghost, I don't want it. That's not the Holy Spirit. Tongues is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is it still extant? Yes. I hate to burst your bubbles, but yeah. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are just as real today as they were in the first church. We got the same enemy. We got the same weapons. But the manifestation of God's Spirit within you is not speaking in tongues or not raising the dead. It's not seeing into the future. It's a changed life. Okay? That's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. John said, if we say that we know Him and we don't keep His commandments, we're liars. Well, here's a remedy for that. You need to know Him. Yeah, read the Word. Pray over the Word. Let the Spirit of Christ teach you the Word. I'm afraid there's a complacency in the church today that is the reason there's so much darkness in God's church today. Hey, I'll put my money in the plate and we'll sing some songs and you preach a message and I can go home and eat supper and talk about what a good message or a bad message it was, whatever the slant may be, you know. Moses I love this. He's saying, I'm all in, God. I'm all in. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to make the same kind of commitment. We're all in, Lord. If you want us to preach on Facebook, we're going to preach on Facebook. If you want us to get a Christian rock and roll band in here to draw young people, we're going to get a Christian rock and roll band in here. Well, I don't think God would work that way. Well, luckily you're not God. You know, I don't know what else to say, church. God's never made sense to me since the day I've been saved. I mean, in a lot of ways, the things He says to me and the things He asks me to do and the things that He's put me in places of, it's like, this makes no sense to me. But all He's asked for is my availability, and that's all He's asking for out of you. Are you available? Do you want to go all the way? You better. Would you stand with me this morning? Moses, under his dispensation, he said, I want to know you. I want to see your glory. And God honored that, and he showed him his glory. We're in a dispensation today that we have the exact same offer, only it's a better offer, because Moses would come down off the mountain and that glory on his face would fade. Paul said, we have a glory that doesn't fade. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have a glory that doesn't fade. If you're here this morning and you've never called on the name of the Lord and asked Him to save you from yourself and from the world and from your flesh, then I invite you to come and do that. You want to talk after church, I'll stay here. I'll be the last one out. I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here this morning and say, well, you know, I haven't had much fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not God's fault. Okay? And He's right where you left Him. And He wants you to know Him. He promises us that. We're going to sing Pass Me Not. We sang that last Sunday. We're going to sing it a cappella. And if you need to make any kind of decision for Christ, would you come and sit on the front row as we sing Pass Me Not. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition. Help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Amen. Please come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We're in the book of 1 John chapter 2. I like to lay my cards out on the table, so I'm just going to tell you something this morning. Some of you know, some of you don't. Mark and Mary Majors have decided they need to leave the church for a while. Dr. Mark's taken on quite a load at the college. So if anyone has been thinking that maybe you'd like to help in Children's Church, we could sure use the help. I'll be teaching again on Sunday nights, which that's fine. But there's one thing I'd like to say to you, as your brother in Christ. If you got a problem with me, come and talk to me, please. When you start telling everybody else your problem, you're a troublemaker. That's all you are, plain and simple. Who has our closing prayer? Brother Wayne, would you close for us, please?
Father, we thank you so much for the message you gave us today. We just ask, Lord, that you help us to want to draw close to you and want to know you in a personal and an intimate way, realizing, Lord, that we can call on you for anything at any time. I ask your blessings, Lord, on this church. I just pray that every member will have the desire to draw close to you and to draw close to each other and support each other and love each other. And we just need your holy way of living. Help us to obey you, to serve you, and show our love to you. Be with us as we go our separate places, and just ask for your guidance and guard us and protect us. In Christ I pray. Amen.